Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
Welcome everyone, it's Marina from MCBI and I'm here with the lovely Sally Wolfert, who joined us back in the beginning of September for an amazing 60 Mock. Welcome on this fine Friday, bringing us your joy down at Featherstone.
Thank you very much, Marina. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, good. And you took the stairs. You ran up to our level.
Get your step count up on a day. Worth a go. I always regret that later.
What was the phrase as you came through? You say, good for the legs, bad for the soul.
Yeah, so, that was exactly right.
Nice. Well, we're really happy to have you here today. I attended your 60 Mock session, which was all about teams and automation and the robots and how they're going to take us all over, which we'll get to in a minute. But I know a lot of people are really interested in 60 Mock presenters and a little bit about how on earth they got up there and what made them become to a point where their careers led them to stand up on a stage in the Rhino Room as it is this year. Would you better tell us a little bit about your background and who Sally is?
Sure. I'm English born.
Really?
Yeah, how could you tell?
I don't.
My experiences have always been in emergency services, project management, change management, and over the past couple of years I've really worked in that people change space, working at SAPOL on review recommendations into sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, and making some significant workplace changes. So the history of teams and modern workplaces is absolutely fascinating. When the opportunity came up to say, would you like to come and join in and deliver a presentation? Sure, absolutely. Robots, why about robots? Absolutely fantastic subject. It's coming up. It's very relevant today. And we should be planning ahead for that.
Yeah. Don't tell us we're going to have robots in the police force yet, are we? Because we've all seen Terminator and RoboCop.
Probably not quite yet.
I'm glad you didn't say no comment, otherwise I wouldn't have slept tonight. But it was an interesting moment when we spoke about the, we had the series drafted. That was over a year ago. Gee, time's going fast. But I remember just as we sort of did the pre-briefing and you mentioned you'd set a challenge for yourself. And you said, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to expand myself. I'm going to be this amazing person and be the year of yes. Can you just maybe share a bit about that? You were yeah, I'm going to...
Okay, so I set myself big, hairy, audacious goals every year. I like to just challenge myself. This year I said I'm going to do a few presentations. I said a few. A couple of presentations came up and this was the first one that I committed to and said, that's okay, I've got good time frames to get prepped and do this. Really exciting topic. The other ones I decided to do were some national conferences suddenly appeared on the radar, local university presentations, all of which I thought, this is a good challenge, just had a personal challenge and go for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely have thrived on it this year, so thoroughly recommend other people setting themselves some of these big, hairy, audacious goals and just getting out there and giving it a go.
That's good, because I was really impressed when you told me that, so, which we'll come back to because it does have a bit of irrelevance to the topic that you ran in 60 Mock. So tell us, how are these teams of the future going to behave?
Oh, the teams of the future, they're probably going to look similar to what we currently have, but we're going to be able to actually incorporate and include not just the upcoming generations, but we're going to be including artificial intelligence. We're going to be including possibly some cobots.
Cobots?
Cobots are the collaborative robot aspect. Mm-hmm. So rather than artificial intelligence, which takes over and does those steps for you, cobots work with people in a team. So they will be that collaborative element, hence why it's called cobots.
Mm. So that's, I've not heard of that before. I like that phrase, a little cobot. But we talk about humans and soft skills and, we call them MCBI core skills around how humans interact. How is that going to change, though, if we have these little cobots sitting in the team meeting or, they forget someone's, birthday and don't bring the donuts? How are we as humans going to have to adapt to deal with them?
Oh, I think the reality is the cobots or robots, they're probably going to be our managers in this space.
Oh, that's much more comforting.
It's not comforting. They're more likely to be our manager. But the good thing is a robot will remember that it's your son or daughter's birthday and what you did at the weekend. So they actually have the ability to remember that.
Yeah.
The difficult part is they're not going to be quite as good as the empathy. They're not going to pick up quite as much on it because they have to be coded by a human. So unless they're coded in that way and can learn like a human and pick up some of those nuances, then they're not going to be quite the same as a human being in your team.
Yeah. So what are they going to do, like in terms of career progression or, you know, that would that mean like a whole area of our working life of impressing the boss is all going to disappear?
Oh, robots don't judge you. Robots don't bully you. So in essence...
Have you seen Siri? I mean, sometimes I yell at Siri, like, that's a form of bullying as far as I'm concerned. But
are you sure you're not harassing Siri yourself, Marina?
I don't know, I'm quite a sensitive pedal, so...
in reality, they're non-judgmental, so they're not going to judge you on what you're doing or what you're not doing, but equally, they'll provide you feedback almost immediately. Rather than waiting for that performance review, you can actually get reflective feedback immediately.
Wow, it's such a big thing to consider, like, because that's, I mean, that essentially, in some ways, and forgive the controversy, is turning us into line workers, back to process workers under the, you know, the steely stewardship of these cobots.
Oh, not necessarily. So,
Tell me more then.
Cobots, robots, they're more likely to do some of that processing, that data stuff. We're going to be the problem solvers still. We're going to be the ones that need to develop innovative problem solving skills, which most of us do have, but that's where our area of focus will be. Mm-hmm. The robots, in essence, will probably be processing huge amounts of data for us, and then we put the person aspect onto it.
Okay.
We're the overlay. So
how will that... I mean, at the moment, we've got, what, 4 generations in the workforce? And I remember in the 60 mock, you had this amazing diagram about the X-gen, baby boomers, the Y-gen, millennials. And what's the next one now called?
Alpha.
Alpha. I want to be Alpha. I would have rather... I like the name Alpha. For a lot of reasons, but... what's... these baby boomers, I mean, they saw TV and fax machines. How are they coping with this idea of cobots?
I don't think they're even ready to cope with cobots. I think they're still thinking about how they cope with the younger generation coming into the workforce. Yeah. If you think about it, the baby boomers... They looked at very much a command control style of leadership. The Gen Zs coming in and Gen Alpha will be even more extreme. They're used to collaborative, really empowering, where their leader and their supervisor is actually part of the team.
Yeah.
That you mix those into the workplace, and without an understanding across those generations about how they operate and what they're looking for and how they engage, that's where you end up with conflict in the workplace.
Yeah.
A command and control person is not going to work too well with a Gen Zer at the moment. But that's why a lot in the workplace at the moment, we're trying to see people embed a culture of inclusivity, talking about how can you actually work across those 5 generations and even prepare for Gen Alpha to come into the workforce. I don't think we're ready even to know what the Gen Alpha workforce will look like or experience because we are going into that AI robotic world. So we're probably nowhere near knowing what their workplace will look like.
Yeah.
Even if it is a workplace, or whether they'll be sat at home.
What? You mean what? There'll be no more workplaces?
Who knows?
Where are we going to steal our stationery from? We've got Officeworks and buy stuff.
That's okay. It'll come by drone to your house. You'll be fine.
So half the fun is in stealing it, though.
Apart from when it's your own office, Marina.
There is that. Actually, no, if you see me signing off expenses. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So this is a whole new world that's getting like shaped for us to start thinking about, which is in itself, you know, mind-boggling. Where do you see it? Let's say in 10 years' time, what do you think the whole place will look like of it?
Ooh, what would it look like?
What will government look like in a nice, respectful way?
Government will probably look very, very different. Will we be recruiting in the same way? Absolutely not. Will we be having the same sort of jobs for life component? Very unlikely. I think more and more people will be doing part-time work or gig-style work, where they do the part-time work to get the income and then they'll be doing that passionate project work or what they want to do on the side. Yeah. So there'll be a huge mix of skills, experiences and what people actually want to do to bring to a workplace. I think we'll see a huge mix and a huge increase over the coming years.
So the composition of the workplace is changing anyway. We saw the job figures yesterday and there were I mean, obviously it's not great news for us just at the moment here in South Australia, but there's a much higher level of part-time work being, you know, sort of popped into our workforce now. And are you saying like that maybe that diversity with a few robots in there and it's going to create a fundamental change into how you even view work?
Oh, absolutely. Work should be fun.
Shouldn't it?
So that, I think that's where we're going to start to see that people do the things that they're absolutely passionate about.
Yeah.
They're going to start to see more innovation about how they can use robots to actually do the boring parts of their role and get back onto doing the really innovative, fun parts of the role that will make a difference,
right.
Whether that's in manufacturing, whether that's in community outcomes. That's where the fun aspect will come. And that's where people, rather than robots, have a real value.
Yeah.
We're the ones that can be creative and we can engage and connect really, really well.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm taking you back to the session and you, it was a really fun part. You were looking at certain jobs that were probably going to go through this transition and you gave them risk ratings on who was going to like be out of a job or which profile. So do you remember some of those ones? I think you were...
Oh, absolutely. Will Robots Take My Jobs.com? It is fantastic. You can lose many hours on that site. I thoroughly recommend it. Nuclear power reactors, probably one of those. So we had there's a category that you get where it's not at risk. Start worrying or you're doomed.
Oh, so what's that? So not at risk.
Not at risk. Start worrying.
Or doomed.
Doomed.
Doomed. Okay.
So, police officer.
Yep.
Not at risk.
Not at risk.
Not at risk.
I've seen Robocop though. I would have thought they'd be one of the first. What about traffic cops? Can we separate the category?
We probably could. We probably could.
Everyone's friend. Yeah.
Maybe not today. The other ones, normal data entry clerks.
Mm-hmm.
They're doomed.
They're doomed.
They're doomed. They're the things that the robots are going to do for us.
Wow.
Probably time, if you're a data entry clerk or you're doing with data, to start expanding your horizons and looking at what you can develop. Nuclear power reactor operator says start worrying. There's something like a 90% chance of a nuclear power reactor operator to actually be automated. That's worrying me. Never mind. Start worrying if a robot's going to take it.
Maybe we all should be worried enough. I've seen that Chernobyl thing.
Yes. there's obviously the risk with that one where a robot might be taken over or hacked. So hopefully the website's wrong on that one.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. What about nursing, like nurses?
Oh, I think today, even now, you start to see the use of robotics in surgery, the use of robotics to help lift out of beds. So there's the health and safety angle of robotics in a workplace that can have a real benefit. But will it take away the person interaction with another person? In hospital? I don't think so. I think that's a really key part and a fundamental sort of intrinsic aspect that we as humans love. We still love face-to-face contact. We still love that feeling that we're connected to a person.
Mm. Yeah, we do. Even if, you know, even if it's not a real person, because some of the robots that you showed had striking sort of similarity to how humans look, some of the faces that we used, and it was nice that they had the brain exposed, inverted commas, the brain. But, I mean, why is that? Why do we respond to people that things that look like us?
There's an aspect called the Tamagotchi effect,
mm-hmm.
where we can become connected to certain things. So, for example, you could become connected to your keys in a way that you never thought you had this emotional connection.
To my car keys?
To your car keys, apparently. Yeah. So this is what researchers were showing. The Tamagotchi, you might remember, is sort of 90s, 80s, 90s, showing my age now. The little pet. And people became so attached to keeping their pet alive that when it died, they suffered some extreme anxiety afterwards. So it's been shown that people can become really connected to robots in the workplace as well. And there's some real benefits of that. Equally, if you're going to whinge about your manager to a robot, the robot's probably recording it.
Mm.
And they might relay that because they don't have the nuances of you having a whinge about your manager to your colleague. Your colleague knows that you're just having a whinge. The robot doesn't. It's recording it. So there's some key aspects to really consider. In the case of the robot where the back of the head's the actual machine, that's Sophia. She's like a worldwide phenomenon.
Mm.
She's got 52 different eye expressions, characteristics, and she's been coded to respond. So it looks as though you're having a full interaction with her. There's a sketch of her with Jimmy Fallon singing, and it looks like they're singing together, but the reality is she's a sophisticated robot that's been coded.
Mm. That's terrifying, isn't it? Like, you know, it makes you also reflect, are we just nothing other than clever, sophisticated, coded robots? But that's probably a whole Black Mirror episode in itself. So looking ahead, what are some of the advice that you would give to people who are perhaps looking at these strategies? What would be like a couple of things that you would say to them that they should be doing if they're looking to create a good plan to augment robots into their future?
I think it's really about, what does your team look like? What role and functions your workplace have? What could you automate? But what's the really key parts that a robot can't replace? And a robot cannot replace everything in your environment. It's been shown that if you actually automate too much, actually your return on investment might not actually be worthwhile doing it. So, and your robots might break down. So there's still a human element. Teams integrating robots, there's still a key element about being included. Everybody wants to come to work and they still want to feel like they're included and they're part of a broad team. It doesn't necessarily matter what that team looks like, whether it's got a robot, whether it's Gen Alpha, whether it's the builders or baby boomers. Everyone really wants to come and do their best. So it's about looking at that inclusivity. How can you help everyone to connect, collaborate, and deliver the very best outcomes as a team?
Mm, yeah. I love this. I can sit here all day. Such an interesting topic. One thing that robots don't do, well, maybe not yet, I don't know, you can probably tell me, but they don't set big, hairy, audacious goals for themselves, just for their own development, which is why not only do I have the utmost respect for you, but I also, my fear drops in terms of the robots taking everything over. It's because until they start doing that voluntarily, I think we might be safe for a little while. So that's it. That's our time together, Sally. Well, in the studio anyway. We can go upstairs now and drink gin.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like a Friday afternoon activity. I'm up for that one. Thank you, Marina.
So there's only three quick questions I have to ask before we let you back out into the real world. Favourite footy team?
Oh, Adelaide Crows.
Oh, we were getting along so well. That's terrible. All right. Strawberry or banana?
Strawberry.
Really?
Yes.
Strawberry milkshakes?
Oh, fresh strawberries. Used to have a veggie patch in England and the fruit. Yeah, I used to steal them on the way to school.
Oh, I like.
And coming back.
So when you say you had a veggie patch.
It was somewhat. My family. And I used to nick it out the fruit cage on the way to school and back. And my parents wondered why we never had any strawberries. It was the birds.
Yeah. And the last, are you a cat or a dog person?
Oh, totally a dog person.
Totally.
Sorry. Absolutely about dogs. They're just crazy, zany things. I love them to bits.
We'll get you a robot one for Christmas.
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you so much for being a part of 60 Mock series and joining us on the podcast today.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Marina.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.